Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 63 countries, such as United States, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK, and a whole host of other countries. Thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Check out some of our shows that we do at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. You can join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can also subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, FM, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, and the Google Play Music app, or wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts. The guests on my show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, other podcasters, and authors who are amazing people and who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for my guests during this live broadcast, you can call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109, and my team is standing by to field your questions. Please help me welcome to the show my friend, Barbara Ali. What's happening, my friend?
Hey, great to connect with you, Sean.
Absolutely. The pleasure is on this side of the microphone as well. So
We've met a while ago. Right, at the New Media Summit.
Like last year, yeah, like a year ago. Yeah. That's crazy. So how have you been?
So good. How about yourself?
I've been doing amazing.
It sure seems like it. I see your name everywhere, and you're on so many shows, and you're changing the lives of many with the stories that you tell. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was just, it's been amazing. You know, 2018 has probably been one of the best years yet as a whole. You know, there's always bits and pieces that are good, and there's bits and pieces that you just cherish, you know? So as a whole, 2018 is a win.
I'm so pleased to hear that. How do you measure that? How do you measure your success?
So how I measure success is I set out parameters and goals and targets that I want to hit. So this year I'll hit 50 podcast episodes that I'm a guest on.
And holy
so far
I've
hit 55 and I still have 3 to go. So I'll probably hit 60 by the end, but I've got 3 in the books. Still haven't done. They're still scheduled. So I've got 55. And then I said, you know, I want to speak, you know, 20 to 25 times a year. And so far I've spoken on 20 stages. So I've hit that target. And then I said, I wanted to earn a certain amount of money. I hit that target. And then I said, I wanted to impact, you know, X amount of people. So you know, I set my targets, I set my parameters, and then I have a set strategy, a system in place to make that happen. And then, you know, by the end of the year, I should have made that happen.
That's awesome. So this whole goal setting thing, is that something that you learned in the Air Force too, or just something you did on your own? Because it sounds like you're setting some big goals, and that's helpful for anyone.
Oh, yeah. I know. I got a lot of BHAGs, my big, hairy, audacious goals.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the military, we went through basic training, they talk about, developing, you and, setting goals and the SMART goals and the SMARTer goals and, all this other stuff. But, I have a system and a strategy that works for me. And then, I tell everybody else, I'm like, look, this is what you need to do. Like, this is what I do. This is what you should be doing. And, if it doesn't work for you, then, you gotta mold it. There's no secret to success. There's only a system and a strategy.
Well, I think that's great advice for all of your listeners.
I love it. I love that I was the interviewee for the first 5 minutes of the show.
Well, I think you're a fascinating guy. I mean, I know that you and I have some common ground and that we've both been in the Air Force, but, it's been a different time period that we were in. When I was in, it was pretty safe and a lot of people went in just for the education. So things have changed quite a bit now.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good platform to start your life on, I think, and that you get out of your comfort zone. And that is something that we both have done. And I think it's taken us in different directions because of it.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Yep, 100%. Which is what I want to talk to you about on this episode. This episode is titled Traveling the World with Barbara Ali. Barbara is a native of Illinois, but spent much of her adult life traveling the world with the U.S. Air Force. She's an avid photographer, world traveler, adventurer, and mom. She and her husband, Abdul Hamid, right?
Right.
Okay. Live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where they have a yours, mine, and ours family of 6 children. She shares her love of travel with others through cultural tours and retreats. Her latest project brings entrepreneurs to international destinations where they learn to scale their business and meet with local entrepreneurs. Her hope is that the world becomes a bit safer and smaller when people meet face-to-face. In the show notes, you have her books, the tours and retreats that she plans on rolling out for 2019, and then you have all of her social media platforms. Connect with her. She is doing amazing things in the world. So my first question for you is why be an author? Why bring entrepreneurs on international destinations? What is your big why for what you do?
Well, when I was about 40, I had this epiphany that maybe I should just send it out to the universe and figure out what I should do with the rest of my life. And you have to be careful when you ask the universe for guidance because it never responds in the way you expect. Oh. I truly believe that when you move forward in faith, the universe is waiting for you. And mm-hmm. although many of us want to have miracles happen in our lives, we don't take that first step. So I said yes to marrying a Muslim Somali. And it totally changed my life from then. Up until then, I had little experience with people from Africa. I didn't even know a Muslim. He had children of his own, and we ended up getting married 3 months after he discussed having a, quote, serious relationship, unquote.
Well, it got pretty serious, it sounds like. And you guys have been together ever since?
Yeah, so we've been together for 14 years now. We have a son together, Omar, who is 13, and he was born with Down syndrome. So my whole life changed when he was born. I thought I was going to go back to work, but it didn't work out that way. And my husband really enjoyed travel, so we decided to just start seeing the world. And we've been to, Omar has been with us for 13 years now, and he's been to 24 countries, and we've been to more than that during our marriage together. So it's incredible. And I've learned so much from Omar in the way that he presents himself to the world. I think a lot of us are in our heads, but when you have a kid with Down syndrome, he leads with mm-hmm. his heart. And he embraces people that I would not have felt comfortable with. Like, he'll find that guy with all the tattoos on the big motorcycle and mm-hmm. go, when he was a kid, he would climb up in the lap of this guy and have him crying. It's like he can sense what people need.
Wow.
So he's just taken us to different places. He doesn't travel. He experiences life in different places.
Got it. Wow. Very cool.
So because very of what cool. I learned from him, I wrote a series of children's books. You know, because social studies can be more interesting if there's some storytelling involved. And we had a sure. lot of photographs of him in different places around the world. And now there are 13 books that are available on my Amazon author website. And it's all stories about us as we ride camels and go in hot air balloons and enjoy safaris and snorkel in the Caribbean and just some of the fun adventures we've had.
What a cool childhood that must be. You know, like we always dream about going to Disney World or Disneyland or, you know, just doing something, you know, and he is just touring the world.
Yeah, he has no idea that this isn't the way people live. He has learned that the front of the airplane is better than the back, though.
Yes. Yes, especially when you don't sit over the landing gear.
Yeah.
The pilot slams it into the pavement.
Oh, yeah. You know, the C-130 rides, they still stick in my mind from the old Air Force
mm-hmm.
days. And sitting
yep.
in the jump seats. Life is a little
yep.
bit better now.
Yeah. I rode my share of C-130s, and it seems like the Air Force pilot, like you'd always tell when there's an Air Force pilot, you know? Because
yes.
like an Air Force pilot just kind of goes in, lands a plane, and he's just like, seeing it like full speed. And you know, a Navy pilot, you know, when the Navy pilot just slams the airplane into the pavement, you know, like jump out of your seat, you know, he slammed it so hard. He's like, well, we're on the ground, you know, and then all of a sudden he's like slamming on the brakes. Like, okay, dude, we have a lot more runway.
Yes, yes, that's true. You can always tell what kind of training they've had.
Yep, you can always tell. You can always tell. So
that's
would you say
funny.
that either marrying the Somali Muslim or having a Down syndrome child, would that be your transformational moment? Or what would you say would be the transformational moment that has really set your life on the path to what it is today?
Well, I think that we continue to move from, you know, where you start. It's like you're never going to be what you
right.
want to be when you grow up. Transformation is an ongoing process. And so for me, it started maybe, I mean, I grew up poor and then I was an exchange student. So that was a transformation in learning a new
wow.
language and having a new family and learning a new culture. And then it was the Air Force. It was learning to get along with other people and moving together in the same direction and learning to take orders and then leadership roles. And it was marriage. And marriage is a journey. Every day something new is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a destination because the person you know is changing and you're actually married to like 35 different people over the course of your marriage. And so there's a transformation there. And then having a child with Down syndrome, of course, it's continually evolving. And I'm learning that I'm bigger than the task that I had yesterday. And the more I step up and try new things, the bigger my life becomes. And like you set big goals for the year, and then you probably look back at the previous maybe 5 years, and you're like, wow, I can't believe how much has changed in that time. And
oh, yeah.
And the number of people that you've reached, and
mm-hmm.
maybe the lives that you've changed as well. And that's kind of extraordinary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess we'll never really know how many lives have been impacted by our stories about what we do. But it's always nice to get those messages. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's always
right.
nice to get that moment where like, wow, that changed me. Or, wow, that was amazing. Or, I can't believe that, you know, this, we have so much in common. You know, and bonds are formed.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there's
definitely.
People that look at our stuff. I mean, for me, I'll go to an event or, you know, just like now, you're like, I see you everywhere. But what I don't see is people who like, share, or comment on my social media stuff. But yet they say, I've seen you everywhere. That's amazing. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, like, well, you haven't commented on anything. You haven't liked anything. You haven't, you know. But then I look and I'm like, is that the standard? Is that the standard now that we only impact lives when someone likes, shares, and comments our social media?
Yeah, you know, it's so like we need that recognition or that that check mark.
Yeah, it's like, how do I know if you're, like, how do I know if you're reaching anybody? So what I've learned, especially with my radio show, oh my gosh, especially with this Life Transformation Radio, what
right.
I've learned is that you never know who you're going to impact. And when I keep
definitely.
This in mind, that I never know who I'm going to impact, it keeps me going. It doesn't matter if I have 50 downloads on one episode, 100, 300, 1,000, 5,000, you know, 12,000 mm-hmm. downloads. Awesome. You know, it's just that one person, you may never know who they are. They may never say nothing to you, but someone is being impacted.
That's
somewhere,
very true.
Someone is being impacted. And that just keeps me going.
Well, and I think with each, if you want to call it, so-called transformations that happen in your life, they point you in different directions. And mm-hmm. so, especially now, because I have this son with Down syndrome and I meet so many other parents with special needs, Omar is pretty capable of doing a lot, even though people consider him a special needs child. But there are a lot of children that have more difficult problems. And so I was, I've been working with some other professionals and parents to try to come up with a virtual summit, because I hear from so many people that they can't get to conferences. And though conferences are wonderful for the networking and for the experience of going someplace and sleeping in a hotel bed and having somebody, you know, clean your bathroom and make your meals, not everybody can get away. And so we're trying to bring the experts to the parents of children with special needs. And so in March, we'll be launching the summit for children who have special needs, for the parents to help them learn on topics that they're interested in.
Very cool. I love
and
that.
So, yeah, so if people are interested in that, they can just follow my Facebook page, and as we come up with the details, they'll be available there.
Awesome. I love
then
that.
Then, of course, travel is such a big part of what I do. So about a year ago, I was trying to figure out how I could share travel with other people, because I think it's more than just the experience. Like you talked about going to, for example, Disney World. You enjoy living through it, like the sights and the tastes and the people you meet. And then you have their memories and the relationships. But then later you reflect on what you learned and saw and experienced. And sometimes you feel changed. And so I wanted entrepreneurs to have that experience, because I've seen it working with entrepreneurs in other countries, that we have this idea that we have the answer for them. And maybe people go on like a mission trip to Africa. That's the big one. People want to go see the Kibera slums in Kenya. And they get there and they think they have all the answers and they want to help these people, when really it's a back and forth conversation that we could be having. And by immersing ourselves in the culture where the people are happy, and sometimes they really are happier. They don't need a lot of stuff to be happy. We can learn from them, and we can maybe come up with business collaborations.
Right. Oh, cool. I love that. So what made you come up with all that stuff that you're starting to roll out in 2019? Like, what was that big macro vision?
Well, do you ever get depressed with where you are in life and you feel like you're not really doing something that is big enough? Like, you know that you could be so much more. It's like when the teacher says you're not living up to your potential.
Right.
Well, I was kind of reflecting on that, and I was thinking about when I was a kid, where did that girl go that would roller skate backwards and have fun. And I wasn't really doing that. I had gotten into where I was pretty much the dishwasher and the laundry folder and all of those things. And I thought there's something bigger inside of me. And so I kind of started exploring that whole role of entrepreneurship. My husband has a successful company, and so he's done it all. He's a civil engineer. But I wanted to see what I could create. And so I started watching virtual summits, and I took online courses and read books. And I'm sure you've done this. You get all these free resources, and then you don't open them. Because really the answer, I think, all the time is right inside of your heart. You know what you believe in, and you know what the gift is that you have to share, and you just need a little bit of coaching to get that out of you. And so in my situation, I met these other entrepreneurs, and we created a joint venture, and they are the business side of things, and they know how to do all of that. Creating businesses and scaling businesses. And then I can do what I do well, and that's create amazing trips where people cannot take a vacation, but they can experience the culture and let it hopefully hit their heart and not just their mind.
I love that. So if you're ever going to go to Bali, I'm in, because apparently Bali is a place to go for retreats. So if you go to Bali, let me know. I want to go.
Yes, it is a great place for retreats. And there's an island beside it called Lombok that just had an earthquake. And that is going to be on our radar as soon as we're pretty sure that the ground will stop rumbling.
Maybe I don't want to go.
Right. But our first retreat will be in May, and we're going to go to Costa Rica, which is where a lot of people go for retreats. And we hope to go to Tuscany and do a foodie entrepreneur kind of retreat for people that specialize in that kind of work. And there'll just be a wide variety of places that we're hoping to take people. So, yes, we'll definitely have you along.
Definitely. So based on all of that, what is your long-term vision as an author? Is it going to turn into anything more than like the children's books, or what have you got planned for the books and all that?
Well, I've written 20 books now, I think. It started with some books about Milwaukee, and then I did travel writing, and then Omar's books, and then I started to reflect on things and wrote a couple of haiku books. But I think that once we get into the entrepreneurship part of my so-called life and sharing with that, I want to learn. I want to write about how travel can transform you and how the lessons that I've learned through travel can help others. So I think there are still a few books in the works, and they will be more along the line of self-help books, which happen to be my favorite genre.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you have all kinds of different travel hacks. You know,
yeah, we have a lot of travel hacks. And you know, the thing is that once you've been doing it for a while, you don't even realize that you're doing it. So I have to kind of step back. And that'll be the exciting part about working with people that don't do as much travel as we do, because I'll have a fresh viewpoint on what it is that we're doing.
Nice. So what are some of the travel hacks that you've learned?
Well, there are some apps that are really helpful, like Skyscanner. We use that one a lot for trying to figure out what airline to go to for where whatever the destination is. And my husband, because he has a business, he pays for everything within his business using credit cards, and then he accumulates points. So once he has a large number of points, then he'll see how many we have for travel, and he likes to fly with Etihad or Emirates, because you can often get cheaper seats with points at the front of the plane. So for some of those really long-haul flights to Australia, New Zealand, China on the other side of the world, then whatever points were lacking, he goes to Alaska Airlines when they have a sale on their points, because they coordinate with a lot of other airlines. And if you can get them cheaply through Alaska, then you can use them at Etihad or Emirates, some of the other Japan airlines we've used.
Huh. That's
so, yeah, we're trying not to spend too much money, but still do it. And we'd like to stay outside of the tourist destination. So let's say that you wanted to go to Ubud, which is in Bali. That's where Eat, Pray, Love kind of made famous. Mm-hmm. Then instead, we might go to neighboring island Lombok, which is Bali. It's like what Bali was maybe 20 years ago. It's lesser developed and there's more nature. And then it also means that instead of $300 a night, you're paying $100 a night or less.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, and also when we're out traveling, we like to get apartments. You can get them through Airbnb so that you have you can use the kitchen, you can eat when you want, and you can shop at local grocery stores, and then you're not tied to restaurants.
I love that you said that we don't get, you know, like you haven't mentioned, like, and then we get a timeshare.
Well, you know,
kind of not how that goes.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people get roped into that. And I confess, I guess it was about 20 years ago, we did sign into a timeshare, and we have never been there since that time. We have let our relatives use it, or normally we trade it up for different places and try to go where it's you know, not so busy, not so expensive. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, does anybody else have those timeshare regrets?
I'm sure. I'm sure people do.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't. Unless you use it all the time. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way. I mean, if you use it all the time, then I'm sure it's great, you know. But
yeah.
I don't know too many people that were like, I can't wait. You know, with the maintenance fees and everything else. And it's just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and
so
I think
I'm
too, for
something
us,
I'm not using. That's crazy.
Yes. And for us to go to the same location every year, I wouldn't enjoy that. But I know there are people that like that kind of routine. For us, we want to experience the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting.
Being in the military, they have the Air Force Vacation Club.
Yes,
so
right. That's a
you just
great
look
thing.
On the Air Force Vacation Club, and I get discounted rates anyways.
Yeah,
and then
you don't have to pay maintenance fees.
Right, and then even then, there's so you don't have. And here's the thing, and this is what I've learned by traveling for all my speaking and everything else. I've stayed at resorts. Gone
yes.
resort. It's like, you know, $100 or $200, you know, whatever. And you're like, I thought I couldn't stay there because I don't have a timeshare. Like, I thought I couldn't. Some places are like that, maybe in like Orlando, but 99% of the places you can go. You don't need to have a timeshare to go there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, so many people are renting them out through some of these conglomerates. Sure.
Right. Yeah. So you don't have to have a timeshare to go. This resort, you just call them up and say, hey, ask the resort, you know, like to see if there's any availability. This, that, I mean, you just ask them. There's only been like once or twice we're like, well, we're like a vacation club, you have to be a member.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, yeah, no, never mind. But then you can just find it on like eBay or Facebook Marketplace. You just find, you can look stuff up. People are always, you know, looking to trade, trade time for dollars, whatever, or hey, pay $400 and you get a week of my timeshare, you know, whatever, in like Orlando or whatever. There's actually one now where you can actually trade houses. Have you seen this one?
Yes, yes. And that's, I think once you get over the initial shock of thinking that somebody's going to be looking in your medicine cabinet, it's a great idea.
Unless, of course, you buy a house strictly for that.
Yeah, that's true. And there are people who do, sure.
Yep. I know people who have turned their Airbnb into that type of house, you know, and put it on that website and you just trade houses. That's
if you're
cool.
looking for some additional income, that would be a way to do it.
Yeah, 100%. So I know I use Capital One with the credit card, and I get points and different things. I know I've set up, man, I don't know how many, like, Hilton Rewards members, Holiday Inn Rewards member, Delta Miles, American Airlines. I hate American Airlines. American Airlines miles. Got like all these like different places. Just, I mean, why not? Right. I mean, if you're using it a lot, then why not get a free flight somewhere? Why? I mean, it's free.
Right.
You know? So,
well, I think the key though is to choose one particular hotel chain and try to use them. So you accumulate enough points because they, you know, they want so many points when you go to turn them in. It seems like you're getting so many until it happens. Yeah, and the same thing with airlines. Although we do keep credit cards for every airline because then you get free bags for you and whoever you're traveling with.
Oh, yeah.
So, so that's helpful to have the Delta and the American airline cards, even if you don't use them for anything else, just to have them for that.
Yep. Yep, 100%. So tell me about life after the military. We hear so many times that, you know, veterans struggle. You know, they struggle with suicide. They struggle with finding their new identity, finding their purpose. You know, we hear a lot about homeless veterans. You know, there's a statistic out there that says that if you've retired from the military as a full 20-year career, all that stuff, right? So once you've retired from the military after a full 20-year career, you have a life expectancy of 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. I had not heard that. But I understand where the stress comes from, because when you're in the military, it's like you can fall back on the routines. There's a lot of order and you have the camaraderie and you feel like your family. And also there's some prestige if you've climbed up the ladder a little bit. For me, I was an E7 and then I went to officer school and
as an officer.
Yeah. I went to the other side. So I think you have to get over yourself and you have to, again, step out and whatever your comfort zone is, and things are different, but I have seen a lot of people struggle in it. And this past week we've been helping with the homeless shelter. This time of year in Wisconsin, it starts to get really cold, and there had been a tent city set up, and we have probably 40% that are veterans in this area during different times of the year. And I know other places where we've been recently, like where we were in Charlotte, the percentage is probably higher, but they don't know what to do with themselves. And so many people come back with the PTSD and they don't have adequate health care, or maybe they don't have someone to navigate the paperwork of it to make sure they go to the appointments. And so it can be quite the struggle. So anyway, here in Milwaukee, we're working on trying to get them off the streets and into shelters now. And, this month, there's a new apartment building opening with 59 units. And the local churches have done so much. They basically provided these apartments with everything they need, pots and pans and cleaning stuff and blankets. And now it'll just be a question of, can someone who's lived on the streets for 4 years adequately take care of an apartment? Like already when they were moving in, there was a fire on the stove. So, life changes. It can be quite a struggle. Now, for me, I didn't have that. I went straight from the Air Force into a job with the Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. And I took some of the things that I had learned, again, during travel. Like, I spent a lot of time in Europe, and we were exposed to roundabouts. And I thought, oh, these are so easy to use. And I came to Wisconsin, and I thought, well, you know, there's some crashes here. And they were looking for a cheap alternative. And I said, all right, let's build roundabouts here. And we started bringing speakers in from around the world to talk about that. And now we have roundabouts all over Wisconsin because of that. So never underestimate the reach that you can have just based on your experience that you've accumulated over time. So whatever you learn, you can share that wherever you live.
I see that. Yeah, I'd be in the car with somebody just because I spent a lot of I'm overseas, and I'll be in a car with somebody, and I was like, you didn't use your blinker. Nope, you have to signal turning the, you know, to exit the roundabout. You have to, and they're like, just shut up. Just shut up.
Well, and they're so confusing. A few weeks ago, we were over in the United Kingdom and driving roundabouts again on the left side of the road. I won't say the wrong side.
Yeah.
But
not only
changed,
do you have a roundabout,
I mean,
but it's the wrong
way. Yes, and then all these extra lanes, and they become so complicated. And that was never my intention for those kind to be built in here in the U.S. because people just don't know how to deal with it.
Right. Or don't even look at the yield sign. They just dart in front of the in front of people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. Like, you don't have a, like, I think it's awesome that you don't have a stoplight. I think it's awesome. But I also think that you're playing a little bit of roulette.
Yeah, right.
Trying to jump into the school of cars, you know, almost like the school of fish. You're trying to just jump in and merge in real quick, you know. And
yeah. Well, I have to admit, though, overseas, you don't see people driving with their cell phones in their hand either. I mean, everything is manual. So they have stick shift. You've got to have your hands available to actually drive. You have to concentrate on driving.
Yeah, that's true. That's wow. Yep, 100%. A lot of the cars over there are all manuals. Yep.
Yeah. In fact, when they see you're an American, they're like, oh, all I have is a manual. And I'm like, that's okay. I can drive a manual. Really?
They're like, oh, God, our car's going to be wrecked.
They probably are thinking that, right?
I hope you have insurance.
Yes, yep, exactly.
Definitely. So, yeah, one thing that I want to highlight is the fact that no matter what it is that you're doing, you know, you're always giving back. You're absolutely giving back, and you're a person of value. So how has that contributed to your successes?
Well, I think first of all, you have to be bold enough to stand up and realize what it is that you have to offer. There are too many people who are quiet. And if we were all going to step up to what our brilliance is and find it in our hearts, then I think we could really change the world.
Yeah, I think everybody has a message. Everybody has a voice. And you're right. They are a little afraid. You know, I work with people who want to become speakers. And the first thing they tell me is, like, I'm so afraid to, like, speak in front of all these people. Like, why? Because you feel judged? Like, you don't feel like... And sometimes we battle the imposter syndrome. I've battled the imposter syndrome. I was over at... what is it called? Colorado Springs. I was in Colorado Springs over at the Air Force base there. Peterson Air Force Base. Anyway, I was there in Colorado Springs back in March, and I go to speak at this resilience event for the Air Force. They're having an awards banquet. You remember those, right? You got to go dressed up in your mass dress and all that, right?
Yeah.
I'm the keynote speaker. They flew me in, got the rental car, and they got the hotel and everything, right? So they can't pay because I'm still in the military, but, you know, they paid for expenses. I go upstairs. I'm like, what floor? And they're like, oh, yeah, this suite, this. I'm like, what? So it's me and the wife. We go upstairs. It's a double door. I'm like, why is there two doors? Like, this is weird. So we open the doors, and it is, like, huge suite. I'm talking, like, mini kitchen, full living room, dining room table. Has a huge bathroom, huge bedroom. I'm like, dude, this is like an apartment. This is like a freaking apartment. and I was like, give me a queen bed or whatever. Like, this is nuts. And so I was like, why did they give me this? And my wife's like, don't you do that. Like, this is super nice. Great view. You know, got a little bit of snow here and there. She goes, no, you deserve this. You work hard. You deserve this. I didn't feel like I did. I didn't feel like I deserved it. I was like, dude, I'm cool with, like, a queen bed. Like, give me, like, a one room, like a king or like a double queen. Like, I don't care. You know, a room's a room, you know. And so it just it threw me for a loop because, like, you know, I'm used to getting, you know, expenses paid for or whatever. But I don't get, like, a BMW rental car. I got a freaking brand new BMW rental car. And I got a like huge suite, you know, and it just, I don't know. I didn't think that I did anything amazing to deserve that. But other people are like, whatever, like you're this and you're this and you're this, like complimenting me. Sometimes we just don't see the value that we have that other people see.
All right. Well, I'll tell you right now that if there's anybody out there listening who is playing it small, you need to stop right now. And I have been just where you are. You know, you think, oh, I don't need this or I'm not worthy. And then by marrying my husband, he had a very different background. I was raised by a single mother and we never had enough money. But he was the son of the Secretary of State of Somalia. And his father would attend events like, like Kennedy's funeral. And he went to an Italian boarding school and he had servants and he had a pet cheetah. So just to give you a little background. So his idea of what he is worthy of and what he deserves in life was so much greater than mine. And I've really had to grow and stretch to get to that point where I don't have to have it, but when it comes, I've learned to say thank you and appreciate it. And don't you think you're there now too?
Isn't that an amazing mindset?
It is. It is. It's that whole abundance mindset. It's so important in life because if you are thinking that you deserve more, it's going to come.
Yeah. I think that it's amazing what you said, that you had to grow into the mindset and that we deserve much more than we give ourselves credit for. And it's not to, you know, I want this big house, I want this, and just look at me. But I mean, whatever you dream for yourself, go get it.
I agree. I mean, we live modestly. We don't have I joked, my husband is a tribal prince. And so I joked about, you know, where is the castle and the riches? But we live very simply. For us, it's all about the experiences. And the more that we make in life, the more that we're able to share, and we see how that impacts the lives of the people that we meet. That gives me such a great feeling to know, for example, that these boys we met in Ethiopia, that now they're able to go to school or that they could get a computer so now they can start their own website and travel business. And I think it's not all about stuff. It's about how you can impact the world. And I know you share that belief because I see it in your actions.
100%. Yeah, I was born to my mom and dad who divorced when I was in like first grade. My dad joined the Air Force and my mom said, no way, I'm not being a military wife. And like, I'm done. and then remarried to a guy who was physically, emotionally, and mentally abusive. And, you know, we grew up poor. My mom worked 2, maybe 3 jobs. I remember shoveling snow in Michigan, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, shoveling snow just to make money just so we could eat. You know, he would take my mom's jewelry, take our money. He would give my mom like an allowance sometimes, you know, just because he had an alcohol and a drug habit. And it's a terrible way to live. You know, you don't know how poor you are until you eat like pancakes for dinner and sometimes potato pancakes.
Right. We often had breakfast for dinner. I understand that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is important is seeing the resilience that you have, and not everyone is that resilient. So it's great that you're sharing that with people.
Mm-hmm. But it took a lot. You know, I struggled, you know, and I always said, well, this is my lot in life. This is what life gave me. This is crap. You know, so I started getting into an alcohol habit and I started doing stupid things, you know, and it wasn't until someone saw the value in me that I didn't see that I really started to play bigger, you know, and then I started changing the people that I hung around with. And I started hanging out with people who had big dreams, who had those BHAGs, that had amazing life plans. Like, that's amazing. I could never do that. And they would say, yeah, you could do it if you wanted to. You absolutely could. Now, so it's almost amazing that my friends believed in me even when I didn't believe in myself. And having those people in my life who believed in me and saw something in me that I didn't see was the difference maker. And now I do that for other people. As a mentor, I tell someone, no, I see this in you. No, you are amazing. You are this and this. And, you know, even when they don't believe that they have anything to give, I'm like, you have a lot to give. And so I'm part leader, but part mentor.
I love that. And I think that one of the things, a gift that we can give to the people in our family, since this is a big week in America for Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. as you gather with your family, as you said, it's very difficult sometimes to see what gifts you have inside of you or what your strengths are. Have right. someone in front of you, you can tell them and share with them what you see in them, because sometimes that's all they need. You don't know when people are on the verge of suicide or when they're ready to give up on something. And if you can offer a little bit of encouragement and say, well, you know, I think you're really good at this. You're a good listener, or you're a good collaborator, or wow, what a great meal you prepared. You could create a business out of this. It's planting those seeds that eventually grow into something much larger. And then you just have, you have that small part to play. It doesn't take much.
Absolutely. 100%. So as we wrap this up, let's do a shameless plug. You plug friends, quotes, websites, Facebook, whatever it is that you want to plug. This is your moment. Shameless plug. Go.
Well, I'm really excited about doing the trip. So if you go to planetpeacetours.com, you can find out about some of our cultural tours, and we will be showing the entrepreneur retreats there as well. And if you're looking for gift ideas, I think that my books about Omar are great for children, and every school library should have them. And you can go to amazon.com/author/Barbara Ollie. And I've just really appreciated connecting with you here today, Sean.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Anytime I get to talk to you, we ended up meeting in Charlotte again. Seeing mm-hmm. you in Charlotte. That was super cool. And so, yeah, I mean, anytime I get to hang out with you and talk to you, you know, is a good day.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. And I look forward to our next chance meeting. I wonder where in the world it will be.
Where in the world? I don't know. My dream is to speak in Australia. So if you ever go to Australia, I want to go.
I'm going to hold you to that then.
Yeah, my goal in 2019 is to speak in Australia.
That's good. And I think if any of you out there listening have goals, you need to tell everybody what it is you want to do, because you never know who you're going to connect with that says, oh, that's easy. I can make that happen.
Right? Like, somebody was like, man, I wish I could do this. I'm like, oh, I can do that for you. Here, I do this.
Yeah, like, whatever you have, put it out to the universe. It's much easier to make it happen that way. Don't do everything by yourself.
Right.
Connect.
Attraction.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for your vulnerability and you sharing today. And I look forward to the next time that we get to hang out and chat.
Thanks, Sean. I really appreciate you having me here today.
So Life Transformation Radio, an amazing guest, elevating lives worldwide. If anything that Barbara and I talked about today resonates with you, please reach out to her. Go to her website. Their tours and retreats, go to planetpeacetours.com, and you can check out LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, all the show notes. Check out her books. She is doing amazing, amazing things. So as I close, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.